It's chickens. Solemnly, the doctor bowed before the cage. Greetings. We come as friends.
Doctor, what are you doing?
When you've traveled as much as I have, Joe, you'll learn not to jump to conclusions. These look like chickens, but they could be the dominant life forms on this planet. The doctor leaned over the pen. Greetings, he said again. There was no reply.
Try clucking, suggested Joe. Before he could reply, she went on, Doctor, those things not only look like chickens, they are chickens. And what about this?
She pointed to the side of a nearby crate. The doctor looked. Despite the gloom, it was possible to make out the stenciled capital letters. They read, Singapore.
The Actian Galaxy, you said?
Taken aback, but not yet defeated, the doctor looked round. Nearby, a ladder led up into the darkness above them. Come on, Joe, he said, and started to climb. Shaking her head at his obstinacy, Joe followed, pausing only to say a quick goodbye at the chickens. They clucked back at her. At the top of the ladder was a hatch. The doctor lifted it. Behind him on the ladder, Joe peered through the gap. She saw decking, a rail, more cargo hatches, and an Indian seaman in shabby overalls walking past.
Metabilis be blowed, she whispered. This is just an ordinary cargo ship, Doctor. You've landed us back on Earth.
As the terrifying adventure which followed was to prove, Joe had never been more wrong in her life. Meanwhile, more arrivals were taking place. The spaceport of Capital City, on the planet called Interminer, was baking in the heat of the planet's twin suns. It was a busy, colourful scene as the massive cargo rockets loaded and unloaded in their separate bays. Ground cars and cargo trains scurried to and fro, like ants at the feet of the towering metal mountains of the great space rockets. Cursing and sweating, the functionaries worked steadily away, loading and unloading the cargo. Capital City was in the middle of a boom. By decree of President Zarb, the planet's new ruler, Interminer had emerged from its long, self-imposed seclusion and was busily trading with the other planets in its galaxy. Many years ago, the planet had been ravaged by space plague brought in by a traveller from some foreign planet. In a hysterical overreaction, the Interminorans had cut themselves off completely from all other planets, forbidding both travel and commerce. After years of bitter political struggle, the new Progressive Party, led by President Zarb, had come to power, and Interminer had opened up its frontiers. President Zarb hoped by this measure to relieve some of the pressures on Minoran society. His other plans included a gradual improvement in the lot of the functionaries. This meant persuading the official caste to give up some of their many privileges, an undertaking which was provoking bitter resistance. The strangest thing of all about this strange world of Interminer was the fact that its people had been divided for so long into two different social classes that they had gradually evolved into two different species. The largest class was that of the functionaries. They were short and stocky, with coarse, lumpy, unfinished features. They looked as if they'd been slapped together out of rough clay by a rather poor sculptor. They wore rough, serviceable clothing in heavy-duty plastic. Their purpose, their function, was to work. Work, food, and sleep. That was a functionary's life. For generations, they had accepted this fate uncomplainingly. But now, things were beginning to change. Then there was the ruling caste, the officials. They were mostly tall and thin, grey-faced and grey-robed, grey-minded too for the main part. The officials' code insisted on rigid formality with all display of emotion totally suppressed.